Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If there is such a thing as a collective consciousness, and Bible verses that belong there, John 3:16 is undoubtedly in first place. If you had only one Bible verse to share with your unbelieving friend or your children on a sinking ship, it wouldn't be "Jesus wept" or "You hypocrites, you always do what your father did," or "You shall have no other gods." These are all good texts, good Bible verses, good for teaching the faith, good to know everything that we should know about God, learn the whole scriptures, not just a few. And these could even be on our lips daily, and that would be good, right, and everything. But John 3:16 is one of those verses from God's word that tells us of something greater. It tells us of God's love. It tells us of God's gift. It tells us of the need to believe and the resultant eternal life. I'm sure if you knew today that today were going to be the last day of your life and you only had a few minutes to have that final conversation with your closest people in your life, you probably wouldn't be talking about the weather or the stock market or the new watch from Apple. You might have some choice words, something to share with your closest people, maybe something like, "Did you know that you hurt me?" Or, "I wish that you never did blank." Or, "If you knew how much it would have meant to me to hear you say, 'I'm sorry,' at the right time, however many years ago or days ago." And all that goes to show that there is sin and lovelessness in this world, isn't there? Everyone has participated in the sin and the lovelessness that we all experience. We all know the consequences. We all know how things ruminate in our mind, the things that we've been betrayed or hurt. It hurts. And we've all grumbled about those things too. Some of it is justified because we sin against one another. There's justified grumbling. But a question, have you ever grumbled against God? Now, God can handle your grumbling, but is it justified? Has God ever wronged you personally? Or are you just upset that there is sin and hunger and losses and betrayal and death? Have you ever grumbled against God for how that has affected you? The people of Israel, in our Old Testament reading today, they grumbled against God in the wilderness. Even though God was transporting them to the promised land, now they had to live by faith that was coming, and God was providing for them manna, which they called worthless food, grumbling. After all that God did for them to deliver them out of Egypt in the hand of slavery, and this is what God gets, grumbling and complaining. And as an example of God's wrath, his anger against sin and unjustified lovelessness, to show God's wrath for these things, we hear in the text that he sent fiery serpents that bit the people so that anyone who was bit, some of the people even died. That caused Israel to repent and turn back to God with apologetic hearts. "We sinned against God and you, Moses. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And so Moses agreed, he prayed to the Lord. Now, rather than take away the serpents, we hear something else, don't we? God gave them a picture of his upcoming act of love for them and the whole world. He gave them a gift that would prevent them from dying. "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live." You see, even though that they had sinned against God and even though they deserved death, God gave them a way of escape. Something He sent to earth as judgment for sin will also save them. Whoever rejects what He sent to save them will die. Whoever receives what He sent to save them will live. This was the only way for the people of Israel to live, is to look up at that pole, look on the cross, look at that snake, that serpent on the pole. And for God, because He didn't have to do this, this was the way of love. That's what you do when you do something that you don't have to do. Especially when you are the one who has been most hurt. It's only when you understand what God did in the wilderness for Israel that you fully appreciate what Jesus meant before He said John 3:16, when He said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. You see, the sending of Jesus is God's dual act of judgment for sin and salvation. The thing God is sending, His Son, is the very essence of His whole self being lifted up on a pole, on a cross, in order to die in our place. It is a picture of the death of God's anger. In fact, we believe it's even the picture of the death of death itself. And if death dies, what does that mean for you and for me? Now, if you don't believe that death is dead and that God's anger is still not satisfied, then the text says you really have no part in God because that is God. It also means that you don't know true love. The doing of something that God didn't have to do, even when He was the person most hurt because of our collective sin. In other words, if you read the Old Testament without the view of a loving God, then you have not God, and you have not love. For, and here is the verse that wraps up the whole Old Testament and New, so that everyone with an ear and a brain can understand without getting confused. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This verse tells of God's love, God's gift, the need to believe, and the resultant eternal life. If you only had one conversation left with an unbeliever or with your children on a sinking ship, what would you say? Forget the Apple Watch and the weather. Tell them the wonder. Remind them again of the wonder of God's love, God's gift, the need to believe, and the resultant eternal life. Tell them John 3:16. Remind them of who God is and what He has done for you and for the salvation of all who would believe. May God seal to your hearts these words by His Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.